The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
If you have never had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, you don't need to listen. But we have a verse for you today because it seems to me that when we are struggling, we need a promise. And the promise is found in Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. So if you never get in trouble, you know, you can zone out, wait till the baptisms. But I'm going to guarantee that even if you don't get into trouble, your neighbor might get into trouble, your friend might get into trouble. Someone in your family might get into trouble, and they're going to need a promise like this. Troubles as adults can sometimes be much more complex than finding gum in your hair, although that's pretty traumatic at any age. And we just remember that. Last week, we talked about and concluded with the reality that divine power has been given to us. Everything we need for a godly life is supplied by God through our knowledge of Him, and He has given us His very great and precious promises that through them we can participate in the divine nature, and what a blessing that is. So I just felt like today, for these brief moments, and I will be brief, we're going to look at a promise. We're going to look at a promise. And as I was meditating on this and thinking about it, I thought of an old song. And it's an old song because I'm an old guy. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm so glad there's some other old people here who knew that song. Very interesting story because R. Kelso Carter wrote that song. He lived 79 years. He had a very interesting life. He was a great athlete as a young man. He became a minister in the Methodist Church. He raised some sheep at one time in his life. He was a professor. He published textbooks. And at the end of his life, while he's in Baltimore, Maryland, he became a doctor. It's amazing, all the diversity of his life. And yet, isn't it well summarized by a reality that this is the one song that he wrote that we remember, that he was standing on the promises of God? I heard a preacher say, you're not allowed to sing it sitting on the premises when you're standing on the promises. Well, that really is a great blessing for us, a great message for us. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. This is the God who is real. This is the God that the psalmist writes of. He's called Elohim, which is a majestic plural, which leaves room for the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even in that ancient Hebrew language. He is in this psalm called the Most High God. You can't get higher. He is the absolute highest. He is the God of Jacob, which is very interesting. He chooses to signal us to Jacob, who you know was a liar and deceiver, and yet he was still in the covenant. And so it's the God of Jacob that the psalmist points us to, who keeps his word, keeps his covenant. And he is the Lord of hosts, which is basically a title of his control over the angels. I think it's wonderful that angels don't argue with God. I wish I was like an angel. But often I'm not. And that's why I get into trouble. That's why I need a psalm like this. He has infinite resources and he wins every battle. He is the ultimate overcomer. And we need to remember that on terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, and the good days as well. So, God is our ever-present help in trouble. The word trouble means be tight, be crowded in when life gets narrow. You ever feel like life's crashing in? That's what this word speaks of. It's used 71 times in the Old Testament. It's like what happened to Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery. That was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day for Joseph, but he clung to the Lord. It's amazing, the story of Joseph. It's like a woman in birth pangs, because this word is used for women in birth pangs. I know, I can't identify, don't understand, I get all that. But it is something when you find you're pregnant and know that you got to face birth pangs. And they're going to come, and you don't know when, and when they come, they get worse. Trouble. In the Psalm, he talks about natural disasters, and he also talks about international disasters and wars, and that God's greater than all of those. And he is our helper. I want you to notice it says God is our helper. Not that he gives us help, but he himself is our helper. He gives assistance, he gives aid, and he's always ready to rescue us. 7 times this word is used as a title for God. For troubles without number surround me, my sins have overtaken me, I can't see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. Now, I'm going to go through a lot of verses really quick because we're going to baptize some people today. But as for me, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Psalm 44, rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. Wow, what a statement that is, huh? Other people have limits in their resources, in their wisdom, in their ability, in their time. But your God has no limits. That's why he is such a great helper. That's why he's such an amazing helper. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would have dwelt in the silence of death. Wow. That's quite a statement. And he's always available. An ever-present help. Literally, in the original, it says, he is found in abundance. Isn't that cool? When you find him, he always has an abundance. And I thought of this as I read that verse, ever present, and I couldn't help myself of thinking of that battery commercial. That little rabbit that never stops. And isn't it wonderful that God never gets sleepy? He never slumbers. He never grows weary. And he's always available, and he always cares. He's almighty. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, Paul wrote, according to his power that is at work within us, notice that, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, God is our ever-present help. You got it memorized yet? I hope so. You know, most people, most scholars believe this psalm was written after Sennacherib attacked Jerusalem. He had the Assyrian army with him. He was the king of Assyria. They were a mighty army. They were ruthless killers. And when they came to Jerusalem, King Hezekiah asked the prophet, what should we do? And the prophet said, let's go to God. And they went to God, and in one night, one angel killed 186,000 Assyrian soldiers. Wow. He is an ever-present help. He's also our refuge. God is our refuge. This term refuge is found 12 times as a noun, 25 times in the Psalms. David said when he was in a cave hiding from Saul, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. It is related to the word for trust. Now I want to give you a very quick list. I'm going to give you a lot of verses, and I wrote them in the notes, so you got them with you. You can find them. You can look them up later. But as I go through this very quick list of how God describes himself as our refuge, some might resonate with you more than others. And I want you to take hope in that. Look at this list. It's amazing. Refuge is like a rock. Like a cleft of the rock where I can hide and find protection. Like that. Like hiding in a cave. Like being protected by a strong rock. You know, that's why we had such trouble defeating the Taliban. Correct? They knew all the caves and they knew where to hide. But God is like a refuge, like a rock. He is also like a shield. Psalm 18 and verse 30, which is a great psalm where David's talking about his life. And get this, okay? The King James says buckler. And it's a good translation because this isn't a large shield. It's a small one. Boom, 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 boom. Move it quick. See? Just like the same term is used by Paul in Ephesians, the shield of faith with which we extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. So he's a shield that's quick and movable and always there to protect. That's kind of refuge he offers. He's also like a shelter. He's like a shelter. I heard of the writer of this song, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. I heard a legend, and I was so disappointed when I heard it was a legend. Because, you know, preachers look for good stories, and it was such a great story that I heard that this guy was in a rainstorm. You ever get caught in a rainstorm looking for protection? Well, he got caught in a rainstorm, and the way I read it, he ran to the shelter, and then he pulled out a playing card out of his pocket, and he wrote down the words, "To Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me." Then I heard it was a legend. Doggone it. It was such a great story. But let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. He is like a shelter. He's like wings. The wings of a mother bird protecting her children. And this is a picture that's used often by David. He doesn't just use it once. He uses it several times. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. When Jesus spoke of Jerusalem, do you remember this in the Gospels? He said, oh, I wish I could just gather you like a mother hen, the chicks, but you'll have nothing of it. We often refuse. God is our refuge and his wings. And how about this? Like a fortress. This one's used 13 times in the Psalms. It's used often in scriptures to describe God himself as a fortress, high, safe, easily defensible. Probably the most famous one is Masada. And if you look it up, you can study Masada and learn about how they were protected. This is an artist's rendition of Masada, a place of protection, a fortress. In Psalm 9, he uses this picture. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold. There it is. They translated stronghold in this verse, in times of trouble. He's a fortress. He's like a tower, a high tower. This is the word that's used in Genesis to describe the Tower of Babel, or Babel, that they tried to build in defiance of God. All God did was confuse them by giving them different languages. That's pretty quick. But he is like a tower. Again, that high and safe tower, a great structure. The greatest structure in the city was the tower, and God is greater than that. And he's like a refuge for us. I love the verse, Proverbs 18:10. In the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. The character of God, the truth of who God really is, his name, is like a strong tower. And when you and I are having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, we can run to him. And he is our refuge. And we're wise to live under his refuge. You're going to hear that in the testimonies of some who are being baptized today. Well, he's also our strength. God is our strength. Not just that he provides strength, but he himself is our strength. And I see this as kind of inner strength, although it could speak of physical strength. Isn't it amazing that when Paul says, when I'm really strong, I confess that I'm weak? Isn't that amazing? How ironic. But you see, when we try to rely on our own strength, we are weak. When we rely on his strength, we're really strong. And so in Exodus, when they're celebrating what happened at the Red Sea, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. So how about a strategy? In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling, is the way that song ended. But look at this in Psalm 138. On the day I called, thou didst answer me. You answered me. You did make me bold with strength in my soul. You want strength today? Ask for it. Ask for it. When you trust in God, he is able. He's got all the infinite resources necessary to strengthen you. Now again, the call might come in. You think it's a stranger, but it's him. And it's wonderful to rely and trust on him and in him. How often do you need strength? Be honest. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right? Let us be honest. So the psalm ends with these great words, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And Carter finished his song, standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. All right, do you have it memorized yet? Let's say it together. It's not that hard, right? God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Amen. You get the Awana Award for the day. You memorized a verse. And what a great verse it is. What an incredible promise it is. You're going to need it. Your friends are going to need it. And you try to reach out to your neighbors, they're going to need it. And now you got it. So use it. Because blessed are all who take refuge in the Lord, and his promises are like a key that unlocks his blessings. Dear Lord, thank you today. Thank you today for this great day, this day of celebration, when we rejoice with four who are being baptized today. And thank you, Lord, that even on terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, you are our help and our strength. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.